Hallelujah. Clap our hands. We're gonna sing it like this from the top of our lungs. Hey,
Savior of the world, Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Faithful is your name, Holy One, great in all your ways, your kingdom come. Laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Oh, your love. Hey. Your love is never changing. Your word will last forever. I will bless the Lord all the time. His praise will be my song from the top of my lungs.
Sing it again. Hey.
I will bless the Lord all the time.
His praise
will be my song
from the top.
From the top of my life.
Yeah.
Destiny secure.
My future bright.
Shouting out your name, Jesus. Laying down your life, you gave it all for me.
A hand and say thank you, Lord. From the top of our lungs, we've come to praise.
Oh yeah, I put my hope in you, Jesus. I belong to you, Jesus, and I will worship you from the top of my lungs.
Oh,
I put my hope in you, Jesus.
Jesus,
and I belong to you,
Jesus,
and I will worship you. From the top of my life, yeah, I put my hope in you, Jesus, and I belong to you.
I belong to you,
Jesus,
yeah.
I will worship you.
From the top of my life,
say,
I put my hope in you, Jesus, and I belong to you.
Come on,
Jesus,
and I will worship you from the top of my.
Somebody praise him in this house. What a God. I will sing forever of your love. Come now with my hands to heaven, shout his praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down and whoa. I once was blind, I could not see. Chains of sin had shackled me. But God in heaven heard my plea. And Jesus, Jesus, he rescued me. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. I will sing forever of your love. Come. Now grace so sweet, it floods my soul, and hope eternal, it won't let go. Dead erased at Calvary, 'cause Jesus, Jesus, oh that's right, he rescued me. Jesus, Jesus, rescued, and I will sing forever of your love. Come and with my hands to heaven, shout his praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love.
Come on, hey.
And whoa, 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 whoa. Now there's a home beyond the sky, a song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty and I am free, 'cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Hey, Jesus, Jesus rescued me.
Saved this morning. How many happy that you're saved this morning? Oh, that's the God we serve. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God.
Come on.
Saves. I'm grateful for who you are and all you've done.
Thank the Lord in this place right now for giving us hope this morning. Come on, just lift him up in this house. Oh, we worship you. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, you've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord.
Oh, he's been good. Hey.
My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord.
Forever we worship, forever we worship you. Oh,
they wept, the morning sun was day, the Savior of the world was falling, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not the shame. The storm was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected King has rendered you
doesn't, right? Let's just praise Him for the truth that He's forever alive.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Oh, come on, yeah.
Jesus is alive today. Somebody over here needs to hear it. Somebody down here needs to hear it. Everybody up there needs to hear it. Everybody online needs to hear it. Jesus is alive. He's alive. I said He's alive. Praise God. He was once thought dead when He was crucified, but He only stayed in the grave a very short time. And when they came to observe the tomb, they saw that the door of the grave was rolled away. And the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living where the dead are? He is not here. He is risen. He is alive." Honestly, my want up here is to stay it until everybody gets it. On certain parts of our nation, in leadership, political leadership, educational leadership, financial leadership, they want to act like Jesus is dead. He's passé. He's old-fashioned. We're intelligent. We've got science now. We've got all of these technologies. And how many understand, with all of these advancements, we've not been able to one ounce touch the hurt of the human heart? But yet we still see, when people declare that Jesus is alive, he can put together broken hearts, broken homes, broken minds, broken bodies. I'm telling you, he's still alive. I think you ought to praise him just one time so your neighbor thinks that you really believe. Come on. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive today. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Sorry. Look at your neighbor. Just do this for me. I don't get to do this. Look at your neighbor and tell me, do they look like Jesus is alive or not? I want you to tell on somebody right now. How many of you are standing beside somebody that makes you think Jesus is alive? All right. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, find somewhere to sit else different next week. Amen. Sit right down here in the front row, on the balcony, anywhere. Come on, turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, "I'm glad you're sitting with me anyway, though." And then you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, what a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. This is the best place to be. I don't care where else you could be. This is the best place to be, is in the house of the living God. And you know, something is strange has already happened this morning before I got to get to the platform, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. But while the ushers are getting ready, you don't need to come forward, but while they're getting ready, let's welcome all of our guests today. Let them know that we're glad that everybody's with us today. We're glad that you're here. If you're watching live, let us know that you're there. Just click that you're here and where you're watching from. We'd love to hear from you. If you're watching on the website, you can't do that. But on Facebook Live, let us know where you're at, where you're watching from. And we're so grateful that you would join us. And how many of you are glad that the same old tired faces came back this week as well? You know, no, like we're always like, "Oh, it's so good to see some new faces." But how many know sometimes it's good to see some of them old, long faces anyway? I mean, no, I'm just teasing. I mean, the familiar faces is what I really mean. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for keep coming back. You just keep coming back week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. We're so grateful that you're here. So today it was announced that I was going to do something, and you've already started doing it, because don't you hate it when somebody jumps ahead of you and like tells the punchline to a joke that you're going to tell? Today we told you that we're going to do our annual coat fundraising commitments this Sunday morning, where we cooperate with our local private and public schools to make sure that every child that needs a coat, warm mittens, boots, have them for this winter. And some of you already knew it was coming, and coats have already been showing up this morning. So that's fantastic. And it just kind of tells you, we all get real excited about this thing that we get to do. When I go to church, I like to leave knowing something got accomplished. Like, I don't like just check off the box, "Okay, I went to church." I want to go get something done. And this is one of those real fun and tangible ways that we do that. And folks that are involved with Empower Education, my wife, Jamie, Kelly, cooperate with the schools, and they tell us, "Look, this child needs a coat, this child needs boots." And isn't it, if this is your first winter here, you're just going to have to go by faith. But it's going to get cold and snowy. The reason I know that is the Farmer's Almanac said, this year, no, they're predicting it's going to be two things, cold and snowy. If you ever wondered why they keep selling those books, they're so on. How do they do that? Unbelievable, the skills they have. And so I want to get 100 commitments for Coats. And I wrote down the sizes for children, anywhere from sizes 4 and 5 up to sizes 16 and 18. And, you know, the teenagers like to wear hoodies. If it's 15 below, they'll go outside with a hoodie on. And that's kind of weird, but... So I want to start with this section over here, and if we exceed 100, don't worry, I'll get to you, because we can find other kids that we can get these coats and hoodies to. Children's sizes 4 and 5 up to size 16 and 18, and we want to do this. So I'm going to start to my right side, because I always do, and start over here. All you got to do is raise your hand up nice and high, but hold them up there long enough for me to count them and then put them down. Don't do this, because I'm easily confused. All right, starting with this section here, if you can provide at least one coat, right, get your hand up there, ready? Everybody's hand going up, that's going to be up? Okay, I'm waiting. Some of you are late arrivers, so. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start counting now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. It's rude to point. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Good. Right here? Hands up. 30. Okay, over here, hands up. Okay, over here, hands up. How many are going to give a coat? Hands up. How many are going to the balcony going to give a coat? Okay, that's enough. I counted every single one of them. I have your names embedded into my mind. No, no, absolutely I didn't. I knew if I had 30 there, that's 60, that's 120, that's 150. Okay, so that's awesome. Let's thank God. That's fun. Man, that's a blast. That is so much fun. And I'm not just kind of glancing over because it's not important, but you don't want to watch me count. So thank you so much. Starting the first Sunday in November, would you start bringing those? Bring it. There'll be some big bins out there. We're going to need some huge bins for that many coats. That's awesome. But let's bring them and we'll give them. And if we need boots and socks, we'll take care of that as well. All right, while the ushers are coming, let me just mention this Friday night, the Ignite group, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, are having a costume get-together at 6:30 to 9 o'clock right here. You see that on the screen. So all the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, if you have a junior high student, you may not know that they have a gathering in the cafe during this morning service. Have a great service, and we would encourage you, if you're watching online and you have a junior high student, they need some spiritual encouragement, and they'll get it if they go to Ignite. Got great leaders, great program up there. And then next Sunday is Kids on the Move. They're going to be bringing their costumes and dressing up for church, and so that's cute, isn't it? We love to see those little guys running around out there dressed up like all manner of evil, and so... Batman and little bees so it's a lot of fun. Let your kids dress up, and they'll probably jack them up on candy, so you're welcome in advance. And then next Sunday morning, Sunday night, man, I'm so excited that our friend, a friend of my wife and I's, and a friend of this church, Ted and Bonnie Shuttlesworth, will be here, and we're going to have a great Sunday. I believe that Jesus is alive just like you do, and I believe that Jesus is doing things because he's alive. And I love what God is using Ted Shuttlesworth to do. He's going into the cities doing open-air meetings like the 50s and 60s. And people by the droves are coming to Christ. The last crusade he did in Atlanta, I think they had about 1,300 people get saved. Listen to this. 600. Now, every one of them sign a card. There are pastors there to make contacts, to disciple the people. This isn't like just shot in the dark stuff. They have a very well-organized outreach. And the gospel needs to get outside the four walls of the church. And imagine this, 600 of those convert cards had no address because they were homeless. I thought that was astounding. Now, how many understand? We all agree, God loves homeless people just as much as he loves people that have a home. And so I love what God is using Brother Shuttlesworth to do. And every time he comes, it builds our faith. So come, bring people that need their faith built up. Next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, it's going to be fantastic. And then tonight, 5 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be preaching tonight on, I believe, one of the greatest advantages in life that you can have. How many understand when you have the awe of God? If some people lose their joy because they've lost their awe. They've lost that awesomeness. They've lost that first love. And I believe the Spirit of God's going to move in a powerful way this morning and tonight. So I look forward to seeing you at 5 o'clock. And we're going to do something in the service for a couple that we've never done before. And I'm excited about their new commitment to the Lord. So I can't wait for that. Let me just encourage you in our giving. You see that there are different ways to give on the screen. You've got envelopes in front of you. You want to use those, credit card, texting to give, whatever. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. He's a God of covenant. And when I say God's a God of covenant, you know, when we get saved, we bring Him our lives and He gives us salvation. But then there are benefits that God offers to us if we'll enter into a commitment or a covenant with Him. And when we enter into the giving covenant with God, there are things that God says He'll do for us because we've made Him first. Tithing is giving God what belongs to Him. So tithing really is not an offering. It's really a return to what already belongs to God. And so we need to understand, though, that the benefit of tithing is you're entering into a covenant with God. You say, God, I'm making you first in what's in my income. And God has proven, look, Abraham did that, and God allowed him to live another 80 years on the earth. Jacob did it, and when Jacob was 120 years old, he rode horseback all the way to Egypt. What I'm saying is, when you put God first in your finances, it's not just that God takes care of your financial situation, and we know He does, but He does even more than that. How many would say God's done more than take care of your financial needs? You know, Exodus 23 says that God not only will, in return for our tithing, take care of our food, our water, but that He said on top of that, He'll take care of our health, He'll take care of our families. And we understand you cannot outgive God. We know that when you give, there's not only, let me understand, generous people live a better life in the natural, right? Giving people naturally, because we're built to be givers. But then you add on top of that God's spiritual commitment to take care of us. And Ma, I tell you what, I'm experiencing the blessing of God just like you are. Because when you see God respond, it builds your faith. Somebody say, it builds my faith. Amen. So we have an opportunity to build our faith today in our giving. God bless you as you do it. Lord, we thank you today for being so good to us. Lord, we enter this covenant agreement with you, knowing that you are the greater and we are the lesser. But when we get to participate, God, you do some pretty amazing things. So thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. In the name of Jesus, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you as you give today. We love what God is doing around here with the families of the church. And we have been collecting a lot of testimonies by video because we believe that testimonies are powerful. Amen? And we've got one today to show you of Tim and Tracy Kennedy. If you go ahead and show that now.
Easter weekend, I was coming home from Connecticut from college on a break, and I didn't have much time, and Tim lived on the other side of the state, so there wasn't enough time to visit him and do what I needed to do with my family and celebrate Easter here at church. So I said, if you want to see me, you can join my family. This is what time service is. This is when we're having dinner. I hope to see you. If not, then I'll see you next time I'm home. And luckily, he decided to come, and I got him through the doors for the first time.
The bitterness that I had towards the church from my childhood and the greed that I had that, you know, I thought tithing was foolish. That's my money. God doesn't need it. I thought prayer was, you know, was craziness. God knew everything that I had on my heart. Why did I have to talk to Him about it? And I was just a bitter, dark individual, and it became a pretty quick recipe for a pretty shady lifestyle. Always had some anger problems, almost to the point of rage, and you know, it got to the point where the alcohol and the violence began mixing, and I ended up nearly killing a guy one night, and that's when I knew life had to turn around. It had to be different. The Lord had to really soften my heart for me to even begin to accept anything. I remember working in construction and I had everything that I wanted. I had everything but peace. You know, I had a new truck, I had a new bike, I had everything that I wanted, but I had no heart. And I remember one night sitting on the edge of the bed and I opened up my checkbook and I had such a deep hatred for tithing, but, and it wasn't like it wasn't any crazy amount. I just sat on the side of my bed and looked back at everything that the church had done for me just in 2 months' time. You know, I started feeling my heart lighten. I started feeling better about myself. I started having some hope, you know, for my position, which from the outside looking in didn't look that bad. But on my inside, it was horrible. And I remember saying to myself, you know, what's one check gonna hurt? You know, I already feel better. So that was the first night I ever wrote a tithe check, and it's been absolutely incredible since. Another thing was the whole foolishness that I thought that prayer was, that God didn't need to hear my voice, and an acquaintance of mine was in a what was thought to be a pretty minor motorcycle accident in the Bangor, and he'd hit his head, and that whole day after I'd heard about the accident, the Lord had put pretty heavy on my heart, and I wasn't aware what this feeling was. I didn't know what it was. All I know was that I had such this strong feeling, and I later learned that it was, you know, the burden of the Lord to pray for this man. And I said, I said, God, I'm not a prayer warrior. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm fresh in the doors. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can. And it, as the day went on, it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And finally, that night, I broke down. And I remember praying and praying hard, and just saying things that I didn't realize that I would put forth into a prayer. And the guy had a massive head injury and was thought that he wasn't going to pull through. And a couple days later, he awoke from his coma and he's walking the streets today. That at the beginning of your journey with God is a huge binder. It's a huge grab. It's an incredible feeling for God to step right in front of you and say, it's your time. It's time for you to come back. There was no question at that point. I was changing rapidly, and I was okay with it. You know, never did I ever feel supported until I started to come here, until I knew that there were other people out there that had my same story, that had good people like the people of this church behind them to remind them, how you doing? You know, you look down, what's going on? You know, people that call and check on you. You know, I always thought it would be an annoyance to have somebody call if I hadn't been in church in 2 weeks, you know, just ask where you've been. And it's a good feeling to know that not only are you a part of a church family, but each individual here is valued. You know, it doesn't matter if you're on the pulpit or you sit in the balcony. If you're not here for 3 weeks and they know your name, you're getting a phone call. So that's, to put the same value on every head here, is that's godlike. You know, and that's what churches should be.
The Lord just kept reassuring us that He would take care of us. And it was faith that kind of kept us on track and moving forward together. So September 2013, we got married in the altar here at church. And I like to say that the altar here is one of the most important places of my life. You know, it was where I rededicated my heart to the Lord. I was water baptized with my family when I was high school, right above the altar. I said goodbye to some pretty important family members in my life at funeral services in the altar. I said goodbye to one of my very dear friends from childhood that lost a battle with cancer in that altar. And luckily the Lord got a hold of his heart and he gave his heart to the Lord less than a month before the Lord called him home. All of those things happening in that altar. Tim and I were married in that altar about 4 years ago. In a few months we'll have our daughter dedicated in that altar. It's a really special place, and I can't imagine my life and where I would be without this church family and without this place and all of those important moments.
Very powerful. Very powerful. Tim and Tracy are out serving right now. They're out with the Ignite, and we're so grateful. We need to understand that that it really is the most incredible thing when people encounter Christ. We're not as We understand that church is an opportunity for people to meet Christ, but if all people meet is church and they don't meet Jesus, they've only gone halfway. And so, but when you meet Jesus, you realize that He's put a team around you called the church that inspire you and encourage you. And how many are glad that God's doing that on a weekly basis, week after week after week? Would you stand together with me, please? Would you stand together with me? And we're just taking 2 weeks to talk about something that I feel is so important and easily overlooked in our society, and that's the church. How many of you grew up going to church as a child? Just raise your hand. Grew up going to church as a child. How many of you started going to church as an adult? Started going to church. So maybe a third. Okay, a third and two-thirds. And I think it's one, it's important that we understand what God built the church for, and we understand how the church is supposed to operate. So if you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, if you would please. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And then we'll just read one scripture, then we'll be seated. And I believe Jesus is going to do something special today. Now I say to you, Jesus says these words to Peter, which means rock. Upon this rock, read those underlying words with me. I will build my church. Say that again. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Heavenly Father, please help me today in your name. Amen. You can be seated. I'll take a little monitor if it's free. Thank you. Jesus said that I am going to build something in the planet that is going to have such power that it will not be able to keep its grip on people's lives. Hell is real. The devil is real. And he's doing everything and is behind so much of the suffering, not only overseas in other areas, but even in our own community. And Jesus said, when I'm building a church, the results will be that lives will be changed and the hellish plans will not prosper. Jesus did not say, when we build the church the way we want it. Jesus said, when the church is built the way He wants it. And I think much of the rub that people have with the church in communities is when a church tries to build it the way the people want it, not the way Jesus wants it. So I just want to let you know that we love everybody. We're glad that you're here, but we're not trying to build a church you like. We're trying to build a church Jesus likes. And when you build a church Jesus likes, the community should feel it. I'm telling you, it's not easy to build a church that people don't like. Starting from me out. But I'm determined that a church built the way Jesus wants will be a church that we will long for and the people in the communities will long for as well. Hello. We read last week in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2 these words. Peter, we read much more text, but I just want to pull out one part of the scripture where Peter is talking to the pastoral leadership of churches, and he also had some teaching for how it is people that go to church should correspond with each other, and that was last week's teaching. But there's one thing that really popped out of there that I didn't even plan on preaching today, but man, it has really got my attention. Care for the flock, he's saying to the leadership, care for the flock that God has entrusted. Care for the flock. And he goes on to say, like a shepherd takes care of sheep. There are three types of animals in the Bible. Oh, wait a minute, there's Tim and Tracy right there. I see Tracy taking their look. Hey, there's Tim over there. Who'd have ever thought I'd have missed Tim? Big Tim with his beard. I should have seen that over there. All right. Hi. Glad you guys are in church today. Amen. You threw me off. All right. There's three types of people. Ready? Somebody say three.
Three.
Wolves. No, don't say it. Just wolves, goats, and sheep. The Bible likens. Now, all three of these people go to church. The Bible says that there will be people that will be wolves in sheep clothing. No, go back. Go back. Oh, thank you. Wolves. He says, be careful of the wolves. I want to say that in every church, if a pastor's not careful, a wolf will get in and devour. A wolf has a tendency to stay on the outside of the boundaries and wait for an opportunity to pounce. A wolf is not loud. A wolf does not announce its entrance. But a wolf will stay just on the outside, never get totally involved, looking for the opportunity to pounce. That's a wolf. I would say not only do wolves go to churches and pastors have the responsibility to do the best they can to protect the flock from the wolves, but I would say that in our growing in Christ, we all have a little wolf in us. Go like this, just be honest. We all got a little wolf in us. We like to mark our territory, and we have our own agenda, and we get blind with our own wolfiness. A wolf. Isn't it interesting? You can't shepherd a wolf. Wolves have no shepherds. There's too much predator in them to be led like sheep. And then there are goats. Weird, I've never really looked for pictures of goats, but you can't find a good picture of a goat. Right? They're a weird animal. What I find interesting about the goats is that they are so independent, opinionated, vulgar, dangerous, and destructive. What's interesting is in the Middle East, and I don't have the right, but goats and sheep are almost indistinguishable. In the Middle East, you can't say, oh, that's a goat, that's a sheep. They look alike. And it takes a shepherd to know the difference between goats and sheep. Goats will eat anything they want. Goats will blend in, but they'll never adjust because their heart is stubborn. Now, let's not be pointing fingers at everybody else. Just how many understand sometimes you got a little goatiness going on yourself, right? Lord, First of all, I got to take care of the wolf in the mirror, and I got to take care of the goat in the mirror. And so before I go looking for other wolves, I got to say, Lord, take the wolf out of me, and Lord, take the goat out of me, so that I can become what God wants me to be, a sheep. A sheep. That's what God wants. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a man, I don't feel manly being a sheep. I like the wolf. At least people hunt some kinds of goats. A sheep? But what the picture is, that throughout the scripture is, trying to get us to understand that what God understands is in the church, you're going to have a variety of people with different levels. Some at the wolf level, some at the goat level. But what he ultimately wants is to take all people and move them into the characteristics of the sheep. He's not trying to get us to be weak and frail. But the beauty of the sheep is its humility and total dependence on the shepherd. And I would say every area that you're struggling in your life is an area that you're not in total dependence to the shepherd. This is so strange, and I do my best to hear God's voice and then bring it to you. But in prayer, God has just lit a fire in me to know that we need to explain the expectations of this church, is that we're not a church that sees you as a wolf and says, oh, that's too bad. And sees you as a goat and say, oh, that's too bad. We as a church are going to challenge you. If you've got wolf characteristics, expect to be challenged. Well, that's the amen I expected to not hear. If you've got goat-like tendencies, expect to be challenged in your goat-like tendencies. And I'm not going to apologize for it. And some people have not been able to stand it, and so they disappear. Now, I'm not judging, I'm not saying everybody, but somebody's don't want to be challenged with the truth. And I'm just telling you, it is wolves and goats that are killing the witness of Christ in our towns. And it's hard work, and it's not easy. And if the goal is to build a crowd, then let's just welcome all kinds, all manner of animal spirits. Right? Everybody's got their spirit animal now. Then let's just build the crowd and build all kinds of chaos and destroy our witness. Or we can lovingly, faithfully, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, patiently, intently, with integrity, say, look, God loves you where you're at right now, but you are not finished yet. Come on, you are a miracle. Come on, every one of you that are in this place that are serving God, you're a miracle, but you're not done yet. Oh, I feel like preaching now. It is wonderful that you're serving God. And I'm glad that you've just started, or you've been doing it, or you came back, or you've been serving God 40 years. But I'm going to tell you, while you're a miracle, you're not complete. You need to grow. You need to push. You need to stretch. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to worship. You need to witness. You need to push on. You need to strive for holiness. Hunger for the Holy Ghost. Receive a fresh anointing. Don't think that going to church Sunday morning will get you a crown in heaven. What you need is, when you get in here, to hear a challenging word, to say, I came in one way, but I'm going out another. That's the goal of the church. And not as a marketing scheme, but I genuinely think that's what people want. I think that's what men want to hear. I think men specifically want to go to church where a preacher will get nose to nose, toes to toes, and say, brother, you need to grow up. Brother, you need to get yourself together. Brother, you need to get it under control. You need to get your boots back into the saddle. You need to pick up that rein, and you need to start riding again. Stop sitting on the curb having a pity party and rise up and say, it hurts, but if I gotta cry, I'm gonna ride with tears. If it hurts, I'll ride with blisters in my hand, but I won't get off this horse. I'm gonna be a man. I'm not gonna die a wussy. I'm not gonna be lily-livered, spineless like this effeminate culture. Tell me what's wrong, and I'll accept it like a man. Take it like a man. No, take it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Ladies, you need to rise up and be a lady, and you need ladies to help you. I'm way off my notes. But if I have a problem with Bryce, this is how it's going to go. We're going to talk. If that don't fix it, we're going to argue. If that don't fix it, we're going to shove each other. If that don't fix it, we're going to beat each other up. And if that don't fix it, one of us will die. And somebody else will have to take care of the drums. Because it ain't going to be me. But I can't do that with my wife. We will talk, and we can argue, but after that, I can't do anything about it. Right? We don't need men fixing women. We need some mature women to show other women how to be a woman. And we need men to challenge the men. And we need men to want to be challenged. And what Peter is saying is that God wants his church to not be a place where people can stay the same. What I'm afraid of is that some people will come in and become sheep, but because you've been going to church so long, you turn into a goat and you didn't know it. And I don't mean the greatest of all time. I mean stubborn. If you're reading the rest, it's going to get better, I hope. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, of the ministry and of the membership, there should be humility amongst everybody. And my prayer is, Lord, help us to keep a spirit of humility, where it's not one against the other, one above the other, but all go in the same direction with the same heart. While Goliath lost his head, David could have in another way. In defeating his giant, David could have become proud and not had his head removed, but could have lost his head to pride. If you go to Psalm 23, verse 1, he gives us another analogy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Look at that. No, go back. Yeah, right there. No, verse 2. Back one. Verse 2, thank you. He makes me. You ever heard kids say to each other on the park, give me the ball, make me. Hang with me. God wants to do some things in our lives he wants us to do, and sometimes we say, make me. You know, you're saying, I wonder why I came to church today. Now you know. Somebody says, let's worship the Lord. Make me. Somebody says, let's serve. Make me. Somebody says, it's time to give. Make me. It's time to reach the lost. Make me. Okay. God says, okay, I'm going to make you. If you keep coming to me, I'm going to change you. If you're new to church, I just want to tell you, you say, oh, God's been changing so many things in my life. Get used to it. Long for it. Because everything that he makes you into is better than how he found you. He makes me. That word makes has really wrecked my mind this week. This is what the church, God wants to use the church for. He wants to use the church to make people disciples. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep don't want to lie down. But the shepherd knows how to get the sheep to lie down. Some of you are tired, you're wore out, you're beat up, you're beat down. It's because you don't know how to enter the rest. You're worried, you're hurting, you're bitter, you're competing, you're striving, you're carrying the shame of the past, and you come to church and you're wore out. And I'm not telling you you're a bad person, I'm not labeling you, I'm just saying what God says is you follow me and you're going through some stuff, but I'm trying to show you how to shake off the anxiety and pick up faith and rest. Have you ever done something you thought was good for you, but it was hurting you? Have you ever listened to something you thought felt good, but it was hurting you? Have you ever hung around people that were good to you, but they were not good for you? Not only does he make us lie down and rest, but he leads me beside still waters. You never see sheep high dive off a diving board because they don't like water. They like running water even less. But the shepherd says, I can lead you beside the living water. What is the living water? The living water is the Word of God. And what God wants to do, it's going to turn around a minute, stick with me. What God's trying to do to everyone, including me, is to make me rest in His ability and lead me beside the water to drink something that I'm not comfortable with. Sheep do not like running water. They want to stay away from running water. But yet the good shepherd continues to lead you. Watch this. Goats cannot be led. Anybody that shepherds goats leads from behind. The shepherd leads from the front. How can I tell if I'm a goat? You've got to be convinced 8 different ways to do the right thing. If I'm a sheep, all I got to do is be led. Just tell me once, Lord. Just tell me once, Lord. Well, I need 8 signs. You're a goat. He says, I'm going to lead you beside the still waters, and you're not going to be comfortable, but I'm going to tell you, in those waters, there's something powerful. In those waters, there's something helpful. In those waters, there's something that changes you, and you're going to have the peace that passes understanding because you've let the shepherd take you to the water of the Word and change you. And look what happens when you let God make you and lead you. Look at the next verse, verse 3. This is what happens. After that, He restores my soul. Why? Have you ever felt like God was killing you? The awkwardness proves it. God, what are you doing to me? He's sharpening you. God doesn't sharpen you with sickness and disease and poverty. He sharpens you by putting His finger on your flesh. And when He puts His finger on your flesh, guess what He's doing? He's restoring your soul. What's He doing? He's getting a hold of your soul that's been damaged, and He's doing, somebody shout restoration. when he makes me rest in him and leads me beside the still waters, not only is he restoring my soul, but he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's given me a direction and a destiny for my life. Every step of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and whatever the devil's trying to do to you is going to backfire. Why? Because I'm on the path with my Lord. When he leads you beside the waters and he makes you rest, he gives you restoration. He gives you direction for his name's sake. He gives you identification. Amen. You begin to realize you cannot have spiritual breakthrough until you understand your spiritual identity. You are not a loser. You are not a victim. You are not going to be put down all your life. You are a child of the King. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and don't let anybody tell you any differently. Verse 4, watch this. Look what else what happens. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Jared and Chelsea know what this is like. Jim and Dominic, Gordon and Melissa know what this is like. The Underhills, Sheila's mom passed away, did her funeral yesterday, 99 years old. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Is anybody here baptized in the Holy Ghost? Here's a sign that you're not. Is there anybody baptized in the Holy Ghost in this church anymore? Is it? I'm just telling you, please hear what I'm telling you. When he leads you beside the waters and he makes you rest, he'll restore you, he'll redirect you, he'll identify you, and then he'll fill you with the precious power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll say, even in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When my enemies attack me, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because I have the realization the greater one is inside of me than the lesser one is on the outside of me, and I can't lose. If you're in this church today, you can go to heaven and not be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But why would you? Why don't you want this supernatural power that gives you unstoppable victory? When he leads you besides, how many of you have no problem with restoration, direction, identification, and empowerment? These are beautiful things. But you may have to walk through the comfort zone of your own flesh. And the Holy Spirit told me to tell somebody today, you're doing better than you think you are. Look at you. You're in church on the first day of the week. Tomorrow's not the first day of the week. When Monday's the first day of the week, you're already a day behind. No wonder you feel so much stress. Today's the first day of the week. You're doing better than you think because you're starting it in the Lord's house. Come on, let's rejoice over some little victories. So let's rejoice over some little victories. You brought your kids to the house of the Lord and you're getting them full with the Word of God. You're doing better than you think. You overcame your past and you're in the house of the Lord. You're doing better than you think. Your wife and your mom, you had a fight with your wife, but you brought her to church. You're doing better than you think. I'm telling you, the devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And if you don't quit, you win in Jesus' name. You win in Jesus. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're doing better than you think. You're doing better than you think, in Jesus' name. And if you're in this building today and you don't have a relationship with Christ before the service is over, this same Jesus that is bringing victory to hundreds of people just in one building is the same Jesus that will bring that same victory to you. You need a shepherd, and his name is Jesus. Verse 6, oh, I'm not done yet. Surely goodness and mercy. Look at that. Bruce married one of them. Surely goodness and mercy. Bruce has got three things that follow him all the days of his life. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will... That's a tough one. I will dwell... Stay with me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That structure. In other words, God shows you. I know how things operated in your house, but God's showing you how things operate in His house. Structure. He starts changing your desires. You know, you take a dog that barks and you put a muzzle on him, although he doesn't bark, how many know the bark is not gone? And that's what religion does. That's why we keep people in condemnation and remind them of their shame. We put the muzzle on them thinking we can control their desire. But you take that mouthpiece off that dog and the bark's coming out. God's not interested in muzzling you. God is interested in changing your desire. I drink just as much alcohol as I want. I sleep with just as many women as I want. My wife doesn't know what to say. I smoke just as much dope as I want. I steal just as much money as I want. I backbite just as much as I want. I criticize just as much as I want. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to drink any alcohol. I want one woman in my life, and that's my wife. I don't want to smoke dope. I don't want to steal money. So I steal just as much as I want. I drink just as much as I want. And I smoke just as much as I want. I'm struggling with sin. It's because you don't have any other wants. Everybody's like, somebody's like, man, I was leaving this church. I was leaving right there. That was my opportunity to leave the church. Please, if you're going to quote me on that, do it right. But the point is shock to tell you, I'm not living holy because I have to. I'm living holy because I want to. It's the best thing that ever happened to Matt Ward. And it's the best thing that can ever happen to you. But that doesn't come by being a wolf or a goat. It comes through the process of allow. But look, God's so good. The potter knows how to take the clay and put it in the oven, and he knows how to. He puts the clay in his hand, and he's skilled at taking out the cracks and the lumps, and he's skilled at making it something it was not. And then he puts it in the oven. He lets it get hot, but not too hot. How many have ever been in life and it felt hot? And you thought, man, I think if another degree, I might break. But God knows how to just right in time, reach in there and take you out of the oven, put you up here, and all of a sudden, you're a beautiful vessel of honor. And nobody here can appreciate what God has been having to do with your flesh. But how many will say, if it had not been for the Lord, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm a lot better off than I was because Jesus Christ, the potter, has changed my... Is there any changed lives left in Charleston Church today? If you're not right with God, we're not suggesting you have a different routine on Sunday morning. We're suggesting you have a different destination. Heaven, not hell. And a different heart. Well, you say, I've met some hypocrites. Okay. Sure. You know what? We're all just doing, most of us are doing our best. But when you stand before God, no hypocrite will stand between you and Him. Can I give you one more scripture? Let me give you one. Matthew. Come on, musicians, if you would. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. You want to know what the purpose of Charleston Church is? It's what Jesus said it's to do. Make disciples. I find that interesting. Oh, we already read something like that this morning, didn't we? Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down beside still green pastures. Somebody say make.
Make.
He makes me. You know what God is still in the process of doing? While He's making you, He wants to make others. Go therefore and make disciples of other nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Look at me and I'm done. Look at me and I'm done. Watch this. Everything that God has been doing in you is what He wants to do in other people as well. Do you think that it's just about you? Absolutely not. all the growth, all the victory, all the lessons, all the revelation. It's not just for you. It's but for you to fulfill the commandment of Jesus to build his church, is that you and I are to make disciples, taking the encounters that we have with him and sharing those encounters with others. Can I end with one prophetic word for you? For years, the devil's had his own discipleship program for you. Do you think Jesus is the only one trying to change lives? The devil's trying to change lives as well. And I don't know if you grew up in church, or you grew up in an atheist home, or if you grew up in a cultic home, or if you grew up in another country, or if you grew up in abuse, or if you grew up in affluence. Don't you understand, when you came to the earth, the devil said, I have a plan to destroy that person's life. So here's the devil's plan, to destroy your life. But as I read Matthew, please hear this. Matthew 28:19 tells me, whatever the devil's been trying to do in you, Jesus has been trying to do a whole lot better. How many will identify with that right there? Say, you know what? I realize the devil wanted to destroy my life. Just slip your hand up. You think about the past and you think of all the things you've been through. The devil wanted to destroy your life. Come on, one more time. Let's just look around. Look around. Stick your hand up there and say, the devil wanted to destroy my life. Guess what? Oh, I'm telling you, the devil is going to be destroyed in that aspect in your life today, because I'm telling you, everything the devil tried to make you, Jesus is doing the opposite. The devil tried to make you a victim, but Jesus, through this discipleship, is making you a victor. The devil wanted to make you frail, but Jesus wants to make you strong. The devil wanted to make you bound, but Jesus wants to set you free. The devil wants you to be down, but Jesus wants to pick you up. This is not a 12-step lesson. This is a life change. He's making me different than what the devil wanted to make. You're watching online, I'm telling you, the devil's got you around the throat and he's trying to kill you. But Jesus has got you by the heart and he's trying to resurrect you, because greater is he that's in us. I think you ought to praise God right now, because it's grace and mercy that only brought that work to you. Everything the devil's tried to do fails, and everything God's trying to do succeeds. Come on, with your mouth begin to praise him. With your voice begin to praise him. And I say, thank you, Lord, for the devil is defeated in every life today. And Jesus, you are Lord. Come on, begin to magnify him. Lord, I praise you. Give him the thanks that he's due. Let's not be inconsiderate. Let's move from whatever position we are to gratitude and say, thank you, Lord. If it had not been for you, my life would be so different. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just go ahead and shout it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Change me. Come on, pray this with me. Ready? Let's pray it together. Are you ready? Jesus. Everybody together. Dear Jesus, here's my life. Change me. When you change my life, you're going to use my life to change other lives. Make me a mirror to reflect your power. Thank you, Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper, for I am a child of God. You ought to praise God strong right there. Come on, praise God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Come on, come on, begin to thank God. And we're talking about your life, you ought to praise him. Come on, we're talking about your life, you ought to praise him right now. Come on, we're talking about your kids and your grandkids and your entire destiny. If it had not been for Jesus, you ought to praise Him. Come on, if the devil would have had free reign, you'd be gone today. But Jesus came and He changed you. Come on, begin to praise Him. He deserves it all. You're not going to give Him too much praise today. Magnify Him. If it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be here today.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Everybody, please stay in the building.
I am a child of God.
You begin to lift Him up now.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Sing it, church.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Hallelujah.
I am a child. God.
Well, I'm
no longer a slave to fear.
Jesus.
I am a child of God.
Come on, sing. Magnify Him.
From my mother's womb, You have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to Your family.
Come on, somebody.
Your blood flows through.
Come on, let's have an old-fashioned praise time right here. And thank Him.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
If it hadn't been for Jesus, your life would not look the same today.
A child of God.
Well,
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Come on, with joy in your heart, proclaim it.
I'm no longer a slave.
I'm not the same person. I'm different than I used to be. And I'm going to keep going.
I am a child of God.
Come on, let's take time to give gratitude.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
One more time.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Come on, make it your proclamation of faith.
I am a child of God.
Longer a slave to fear. The presence of God is here today. Somebody's going to get free. Somebody's going to get saved. Just the voices. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Declare it. I am. He leads me in His namesake. I'm a namesake of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. Somebody needs to make a proclamation today. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Come on. I am a child of God. With faith declare, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. If everybody would be as still as possible. I'm going to do a couple things. I'm going to end the service by giving you the opportunity to come to Christ, to receive His adoption into His family. But I have a conviction in my heart that there are people all across this building today that the devil wants to keep bringing up shame in your life and keep making you dwell on the failure of the past or the failure of somebody else in your past. And you feel ashamed. I'm telling you, it's the slightest most inconspicuous tool that the enemy is using, I believe, in this place today, because it has religious undertones. Well, who are you? And you're not good enough. And you know what you did. And people know what you did. And on and on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you, I know what Jesus did. And I know that Jesus died a brutal death on the cross because he wanted you to carry no more shame. And may the Holy Spirit today reveal to you that that fear is a product of shame, but Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you no longer live under any condemnation, but you are a child of God. So we're going to say that one more time, sing that one more time. And I want every person in this place, from all of the faith that you've got, to declare it today. I'm not his bad child. I am his adopted child. Come on, somebody. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I am a child of God.
Come on.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God. Come on. You are his son. You are his daughter. You're an heir to inheritance. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. The devil is a liar. Just a moment. Just a moment. Hallelujah. Come on. I just obey the Holy Spirit today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. He pulls that thorn out of your flesh, out of your heart right now in the name of Jesus. I bind it, rebuke it, take authority over it, and claim the blood of Christ over your mind, over your soul. Be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. There's too much to do. It's just the enemy. But today, in the name of Jesus, be free of it right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be free of it now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch. It's not too late. It's not too late. In the name of Jesus Christ. He's just in the rebuilding process of your lives. Don't be afraid of a thing that God does for you. You've been holding things back from him. But the Lord says he wants you to give it all to him. Rest. Let him lead you. Let him teach you. Let him guide you. And in the leading and in the teaching, God's going to restore any area of your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch Jeannie today in the name of Jesus. Let her body be whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands and begin to thank the Holy Spirit that he's here today and that he can do absolutely anything. Would you? Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Help us today, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Help us today. Help Tony today. Just take it out of him right now. Take it all off him in Jesus' name. Touch Shane today. I thank God for Shane Dean today. And I thank you for his heart. Touch, I pray. Lord, I pray you touch Brother Spinney. No more fear for you. The devil did the best he could to destroy your life. But he failed. And I'm going to tell you, anything he tries to do now is going to fail as well. So Brother Spinney, just let know that God's making a better thing than you even realize. You're a good man in Jesus' name. Amen. What's your name, buddy?
Slade.
Slade?
Yeah.
Nice. Where are you from?
Dexter, Virginia.
from Dexter. I'm glad you're here. Are you here with these guys? It's awesome. What's your name?
Jason.
Jason. Hi, Jason. I'm Matt.
I'm Jason. I'm from South Portland.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. Ma'am, what's your name?
Leah.
Hi, Leah. Do you know these guys?
I'm Abby's mom.
You're Abby's mom? Bless you. Lord, I pray for Leah right now. Hallelujah. Touch her heart, I pray, right now. God, I'm not exactly sure everything you're doing right now, but you're doing something. I pray that her life will be touched today with a decision that she makes. No more shame. No more shame. That heaviness, you didn't realize it came from an awful place called hell. But the release of it's coming from a person named Jesus today for your life. Your life's going to change today in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I need you to realize the seriousness of what the devil's trying to do to destroy your life. You cannot honestly believe that there's not a spiritual influence involved to destroy your life today. But if you have no relationship with Christ, then you have no defense. And the Bible declares very clearly that the only thing that can stop that spiritual desire to destroy your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not reserved for good people or nice people. It's for all people, because all people are born sinners. And there are people here today that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. That's the purpose of the church, is to present you Christ and present Christ to you. Maybe you've drifted from God and you say, you know what, I'm not where I need to be, and I need to make a fresh commitment. That's very scriptural, to make fresh commitments to Christ. And today, it's not a coincidence that God has led you to this beautiful church in the middle of Charleston. Because this is where the same God that met Tim and Tracy and totally changed their lives is the same God that still does that for everybody today. And today, Tim and Tracy's testimony will become your testimony. A life of rebuilding in Jesus' name. So you say, that's me. I need to come to Christ today. I need Him to come into my life. Just slip your hand up nice and high right now and say, that's me. And do it right now. Slip your hand up nice and high. Say, I need to come to Christ today. I need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Yes? God bless you. I see you up there. God bless you, sir. Anybody else on the floor? Anybody else in the balcony? All right, look at me. Everyone, raise your hand. Quickly, come. Stand across this altar. I want to pray with you. Come quickly. Move as quick as possible. Now, come on. Come out of the balcony. Come on. Quick, 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 quick. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. From the right over here, down here. Come on, sir. Come on, let's begin to thank God. Rejoice. Altar workers, come. Better. Come on, we can do better. We're talking about saved lives. Praise God. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Come on, if you haven't raised your hand, come now. The Lord is calling. Don't delay. Don't delay. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but every soul come to life. There isn't enough money in all the banks of the world to equal the value of one man that's down here. All men. Awesome. Did I not tell you the truth earlier? Men want to be told the truth. They do. Amen, Jason. Amen. And that God's going to honor your boldness today. What you've done for God openly, God's going to do something for you openly. You don't think it's possible, or you didn't until you came here today. He's going to. It's going to happen. What's your name?
Pete Marshall.
Pete Marshall. I don't know why I know you.
I came and visit one time.
You came here one time? I'm glad you came back a second time. Right? I'm glad you came a second time. Amen. This is the day. This is the day, right? This is the day to do it.
That's
Let's do it. Amen. Amen. You friends with Josh?
Yep.
God bless you, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really proud of you. I'm glad you're here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And Jesus loves you very, very much.
Oh, I know that for the rest of my life.
Yes, you do. Yes. Praise God. You know, it's too bad you couldn't resist it more.
Oh, I will. In a good way.
It's too bad it wasn't more complicated.
We don't need that.
No, we don't need that. You're blessed beyond what you even know. You really are. Bless you, buddy. What's your name?
Nick.
Hi, Nick. I'm glad you're here, buddy. I'm better that you're here. Is this your first time here?
No, it isn't.
First time in a while. I'm glad you came back, too.
Me too.
Amen.
This is my first time.
This is your first time. All right. I hope it's not your last.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay. You live in Portland.
I do. I live pretty far.
You do live pretty far. All right. Well, let's pray together. All right. Let's pray together. Thank God. Isn't he a loving Savior? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I give you my life to make new. Make me the man you put me on the planet to be. Please forgive me from my sins. I repent. I'm not looking down. My life is looking up. I put my faith in you. I publicly receive you to be my Savior. I want everyone to know I'm a son of God. I'm a new man. I have a new beginning. Restoration is starting today. I have an identification. I have a purpose. I'm learning a new way to live. I give you all the honor and the credit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you, church, help me? I think it's vital for these men. They've heard your approval of their coming, but I think it's vital that these men hear as new beginnings in Christ, the voices of the church praying for them. Would you pray with me out loud, everybody in this place, that God's blessing would be upon their lives in Jesus' name. Lord, for every man today, I thank you for their life. I pray the blessing upon them of a new commitment. Lord, of a fresh start. I thank you in the name of Jesus that there's nothing too hard for you to do in their lives. And everything hell has tried to do, I command it to stop now. And we take authority and say, you're not doomed for failure, but you're on your way to a life with faith, hope, and joy in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. And let's give God the credit and the glory for what he's doing today. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead, brethren, if you would help these gentlemen. Lord, your blessing upon your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock.